Grace to all of you and peace from God, our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. I bet a lot of you know the story, but I'm going to remind you, and some of you may not know it as well, but it's the story of the Exodus, how God saved his people from slavery. God's chosen people, the Israelites, were all enslaved in Egypt. And God called Moses, through the story of the burning bush, if you remember that, to go and to tell Pharaoh something. You remember what he told Pharaoh? Let my people go. So that would be freed from slavery. That's what that whole story is about, isn't it? Well, it's part of what the story is about. It's actually not all that Moses was told to say. This is what he was told to say. Let my people go so that they may worship me in the desert. We don't usually say that second part for some reason, but it's important. See, last week I talked about what we are free from. We are freed from guilt. We are freed from focusing just on ourselves. We are freed from condemnation. We are freed from hell. All of these things. But that's not the only thing we are freed to do. We are freed for things as well. We are freed from things, but then we are freed for a purpose. And that's what I want to talk to you today. In that scripture verse, that's the first thing we are freed for. We are freed for worship. We are freed to praise God. Now, I'm not just talking about the freedom of worship that we have in America, which is a great thing. But that's not what I'm talking about. That's not what God is talking about. The freedom to worship God, it's the fact that Jesus died on the cross so that we would be free, that we would not have to focus on ourselves so much, that we wouldn't focus on our guilt so much, that we would be free to hear that forgiveness of sins, that we would be free to praise God with the time that we have left here on this earth. That's what we are freed to do. We are freed so that we build a relationship, a stronger relationship with God each and every day. There's a purpose to it. It's not just that we're freed from being enslaved to our sin. That's great, and that's good. But there's a reason. There's something to do next. There's a purpose to it. God, I mean, he loves us, and he wants us to have that freedom from all that awful stuff. But it's for a purpose, and one of the purposes is so that we might worship him, that we might build our relationship with him each and every day. But there's more than just that. We are also freed. Well, let me read you another story here from the Bible. You probably know this one, maybe not as well known as the last one, but have you ever heard about that woman who was going to be stoned that was caught in the act of adultery? Let's see. It's John. I didn't look all these up before, but I know the story. I think it's John 8. There we go. Yeah, it's the beginning of John 8. So if you remember the story, this woman, it says she was caught in the act of adultery. What that means, I don't know. The guy wasn't there. But we assume there was no, what this is saying is there was no question she was doing something wrong. And what they did at the time is if you were caught in adultery, they were all going to stone you. So everybody got a stone. They were going to kill her. The whole community, not just one person, everybody, the whole community came out saying what you did was wrong, and we're just saying this as a whole group that we are against what you've done. So then they asked Jesus to come and say, is this okay that we're going to stone her? Because, you know, they didn't want to make him look bad. If he said, oh, sure, go stone her, then he looks like a jerk. If he says, oh, no, don't stone her, well, then he looks like he's breaking the law. So they're trying to trap him. And what he says, have you ever heard this before? He says, he who is without sin, throw the first stone. And what happens? Well, they all leave. It says they all leave, starting with the oldest first. Now, part of me thinks, oh, they just had more things to do wrong because they're older. But I think it's because they have the more maturity and experience to realize, oh, yeah, you know, humility that comes with older age. You know, yeah, I've done plenty of things wrong in my life. So they all leave. And then what does Jesus say? He says, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she says. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus says. And that's what that story is about. that she is freed from that punishment, freed from judgment, freed from the condemnation of others. Don't judge, lest ye be judged. I mean, is that what that story is about? Yeah, but that's not all the story is about. I mean, yes, she is freed from the condemnation, but she's freed for something as well. This is the whole thing, Jesus says. Neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. We are freed for a changed life. We are freed in order to live a different way than we used to live. Sure, we are freed from that condemnation. We are freed from going to hell, however you want to say it. But we are freed to live a different way. There's a church in Arizona, I believe. I don't know the name of the church, but they're not a Lutheran church. They spoke, though. The pastor spoke at LCMC National Convention once. And their mission statement was, come as you are, but don't stay that way. I think that's just a great, great mission statement. Come as you are. When you come in the doors here, we should not expect that you're going to be some perfect person, because nobody sitting here is. But we're not going to judge you for what you've done in the past. We're not. Everybody has a history. We're not going to expect certain things from you. But when you become a Christian, when you are baptized, when you want to be a follower of God, we should all expect, even of ourselves, especially of ourselves, that there's a change that takes place, that we start trying to live according to God's will, that we start living a little bit differently. One time I was doing premarital counseling with a couple, and the guy, he had had a kid or two beforehand, and we were talking. I was getting to that part where I talk about faithfulness in a marriage and about how God's view of our lives is to wait to have intimacy, we'll say, only within marriage. So not before marriage, not outside of marriage, you know, just in marriage. And he said, what are you talking about? And I was like, what do you mean? What part don't you understand? He's like, it's not okay to do that before marriage. And I was like, actually, the Bible says we're supposed to wait. He's like, well, that would have been nice to know. And I was like, what do you mean? Well, he was a new Christian. He didn't know this. He had not been taught this before. And so he's like, that would have helped. You know, I have a couple of kids already. You know, I mean, it's just, I forget sometimes that when you're a new Christian, you might not know this stuff. So we have to not judge people. However, once you know, and once you're saying, I want to follow you, Jesus, well then, now we have to live according to that. We have to try. We have to seek to change our lives. That's what we're freed to do. We are freed not just from our sins, not just freed from condemnation. We are freed to live a different way, to live a new kind of life. So we are freed for worship. We are freed for a changed life. And we're also freed for something else. And this is just a little story. It doesn't even get its own bold highlight print. You got to sort of find it here. It's in Mark chapter 1. And in this story, Jesus goes to Simon and Andrew's house. And it says Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. And they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. He healed her, okay? That's what the story is all about, that he healed her. Jesus is a healer of our sicknesses and diseases. That's what we're freed from. But that's not all the story is about. And my favorite line comes at the very end. It says, the fever left her, and she began to wait on them. I just love it. So she's sick, Jesus heals her, she sits up and says, what does everybody want for lunch? Let me serve everybody lunch. But that's what we're freed to serve, okay? We are freed to serve people. Not just we're freed from our sickness, we're freed from our pains and our injuries or our emotional turmoil or whatever. That's nice, that makes us happy, and God likes that we're happy. But that's not what God is doing it all for. It's for a purpose. We're healed so that we might do ministry, so that we might serve and love other people. I mean, we worship God, we love God, but then we love other people That's what we're freed to do. That's one of our purposes as Christians. So when we come to church and we hear all the things we're freed from, that's great. But the rest of the week, we're called to go out and do something. We're called to serve people, called to love people. That's what we're freed to do, okay? When I was a kid, I was always told to brush my teeth. And I didn't want to brush my teeth for some reason. I don't know. This is a kid thing. We don't like to brush our teeth. So I would be forced to go into the bathroom. And you know what I would do? I would run the water over my toothbrush. I would sometimes put toothpaste on the toothbrush because sometimes they'd smell the toothbrush to make sure it smelled minty fresh. And I would wait a while because I knew that if I only let it go for like a couple seconds, they would figure. I mean, by the time it was done, I knew I wasn't going to get in trouble for not brushing my teeth. But it wasn't until a little later I realized I was missing the point of this. It wasn't that I was brushing my teeth to not get in trouble. I was brushing my teeth so that my teeth wouldn't fall out, so I wouldn't have gum disease, all this kind of stuff. And I think as Christians, sometimes we've forgotten, as Christians, it's not just what we're freed from. It's not just that we're not going to get in trouble or that we're going to be happier, all this stuff, but we're freed for a purpose. There's a reason. God needs people helped, and one of the things that we are freed to do is to help them. The final story that I want to bring up comes from Acts chapter 9, and this is about this guy named Saul. You might have heard of him before. He was a bad guy, and he was trying to kill all these other Christians. He was a really devout Jew, and he would try to kill Christians. He was there when the deacon Stephen was stoned and killed, the first martyr, and Saul was confronted by Jesus on the road, and Jesus was like, "Why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting my people?" And he made Saul go blind, okay? And so for three days, Saul was blind. And then there is this guy, this Christian named Ananias, that God called to go and heal Saul. And this is what God told Ananias. "This is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." So Ananias heals Saul, but that's not the point. The point is not that Saul there, you know, found he was doing something wrong. He was punished by God, healed from God. That's the end of the story. Saul was healed and called by God so that he would go preach the word to the rest of the world, to the Gentiles, the non-Jews. Okay? And this is another thing that we are freed to do, freed for sharing the message to others. It's not enough that we just know. I mean, we're all gathered here at church, and that's great. I'm glad you're here. But our goal is not just to see the same people every week. The goal is not just to say, "Well, I know the truth," and judge other people who don't. The goal is that we know the truth so that we can share the truth. We've been given this great gift so that we can share it far and wide, so we can tell people about it. We don't want to just hold it in. The preschoolers learned a song all about this. It's like, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." Like, it's great if we have our own little lights and we feel so good and we're shining for the world to see, but we don't want to hide it away under a bushel. We want to let other people see. That's what we're saved for, okay? Not just saved from, but saved for. So last week, I talked about what we're saved from. It was supposed to be a more comforting message. It's like all these things that God has saved us from, sickness and disease and guilt and condemnation. But today is more of a challenge to really say, what are you saved to do? What are you saved for? I don't know what you want to focus on this week, but I would at least think about it today and say, I've been saved by Jesus Christ. Jesus died on a cross for a purpose so that you would have a purpose. If you're a Christian, God has a purpose for your life. And it's usually, well, I know it is, more than to just sit in a pew and think about how lucky you are to be saved. That's great. I'm glad for you. I'm glad that one day we'll see each other in heaven. But there's a purpose for your life. And God has that purpose for you. So pray about it, read your Bible, ask a friend, what is God's purpose for your life? What has Jesus saved you for? That's the challenge for this week, and I hope that you take up that challenge and really ask yourself, not just thank God for what you're saved from, but thank God that you are saved for an important purpose on this earth. Amen.